Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be here once again. It's been a little while, but Ron and I are very pleased to be here, and we always love coming home. And thank you for inviting us and welcoming us as we came home once again. It's been I've forgotten how many years it's been since I was able to be here. I think it was during the time of Pastor Davis when he was pastoring here a few years ago. How have you been? Yeah? Wonderful, wonderful. It's good to see so many new faces. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And your wonderful band that's playing. I felt like just singing and singing and singing. Wasn't that wonderful? Amen. And your praise team, of course, who lead so well and beautifully. And to see some surprising faces when I came in. Maureen, good to see you. Maureen's from London, you know. Did you know that? Yeah, she's from London, but she's a Bedfordite now. Amen. Wonderful. It's good to see Jazz. Jazz has been with us on Adventist Radio London. Have you heard of Adventist Radio London?
Yes.
You have. Have you been listening to Adventist Radio London?
Yes.
Oh, amen. It's good to hear that. I know you're far away from London, but you can still pick it up on DAB, on your app. You're listening on your app and your internet. Praise God. Praise God. We want you to continue to pray for Adventist Radio London. And of course, share the message with your friends. Adventist Radio London, can I let you into a secret? It's not designed for Adventists. Did you know that? You did? Amen. Wonderful. It's designed for our community. And so it's for us to take this wonderful opportunity the Lord has given to us and share it with our community. Hey, please tune to Adventist Radio London, because we have messages there that are designed specifically for those who do not know the message that the Lord has given to us as a church to share with the world. And the more people around our communities who are tuned into Adventist Radio London, the more we'll receive the Adventist message, and soon the Lord will come. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? One day we're going to turn off the radios and we're going to be in the presence of our God. We're going to turn off the TV. The message shall have reached the world. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? In all the world, for a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Praise God. This message that Christ gave us as Christians to share to the world must go forward. And it's not for us to just enjoy it and say, hey, how beautiful this is. No, no, no. It's for us to share it with somebody else. Because I long to see Jesus come. I long to see him face to face. I long to know what it's like to travel through space without a spaceship. Can you imagine that, saints of God? It's going to be great. Traveling faster than anything that man has invented. Traveling through space with our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how he's going to do it. My mind is one of those things that just go wild. I try to imagine what it's going to be like when the Lord comes. Is he going to create a big bubble for us? And we're all going to travel through this bubble through space. What's it going to be like? We don't know. But we've got to be there to find out. Amen?
Amen.
Be there to find out. When the Lord comes, we're going to be surprised. That's going to be the greatest event that's ever happened on planet Earth, to see Jesus come back again.
Amen.
And all his children are caught up to meet him in the air. What a great opportunity and a great time that will be. Saints, be there. And stay tuned to Adventist Radio London. Adventist Radio London costs a lot of money to run. Did you know that? Perhaps you didn't know that. Let me let you know, it costs more than we can afford. But the Lord is saying, have faith in me. I will carry you through. And since we are making appeals to all our members, all our churches, to give a little extra for this mission, for this ministry. On your offering envelopes, you know your offering envelopes? All you need to do is just write Adventist Radio London on it and put a little bit more for this mission. And the more of us give a little bit, if we give, say, £5 a month for Adventist Radio London, You know, saints of God, we will have that radio station that will broadcast across the nation. Did you know that? Just £5 a month from each member. It will go a long way. The Lord is saying, trust the church. Because the church is all about mission. And when we focus on the mission of the church, the mission that God has given to us, saints of God, everything else will fall in place. The Lord will take care of all our needs. Amen? Amen. How many of you can testify to that? Because you've put the Lord first, He has taken care of your needs. And this is a challenge that He's given the South England Conference to make this radio station successful in reaching the people with this wonderful message. It's three angels' message that we proclaim every day on the radio. And we pray that somebody will tune in and say, hey, I never heard that before. I never understood that before. And saints of God, we've only been broadcasting for just over a year and a half or so. And people are writing into the station. Just a couple weeks ago, a few months ago, I received a text from one of our Methodist pastors, Methodist ministers. He wrote in and says, hey, we were doing a series on Revelation. And he wrote in and said, hey, I've learned so much this week. Amen. About Revelation. And we said, praise the Lord. Amen. We don't know who's listening. We get calls and texts from people overseas. We're in over 180 countries in the world, saints of God. People are tuned into Adventist Radio London. Just recently, just this couple days ago, we were informed that we are reached online over 62,000 people. Amen. Are tuned in and listening. Wow. Is that good, saints of God? The membership of the church in South England Conference is just 25,000. That means more members, more people than we have members are tuned in to Adventist Radio London. I say, praise the Lord. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. The disciples didn't understand radio when they got that message. Did you know that? They didn't know what radio was. But the Lord said way back then, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. And they thought they're going to run from house to house, knocking on doors and say, have you heard the gospel? But the Lord had other plans. The Lord knew about radio waves. Did you know that? Way back then, the Lord knew about radio waves, and He invented radio waves, and He gave man the mind to discover what radio waves are, and we are able to send our signal now to places where people didn't even know they could receive it. We can reach the whole world at one time. This gospel shall be preached. Then the end will come. Praise God, saints of God. He has granted us this opportunity for such a time as this. The Lord is getting ready to wind up His work. He's opening opportunities for us. This gospel is going to go through. The governments that are in place, I can go on talking about radio now. This is the last thing. Did you know that there was a time in Britain, in fact, when I was pastoring Bedford, the churches could not own and operate radio stations. Did you know that? Right here in Britain. It was against the law for churches to operate and broadcast over the radio. But the church in Britain prayed. And they lobbied the government. And the government changed their minds. The government turned things around and said, okay, church, you can operate and you can broadcast on the radio. And did you know something else, saints of God? Radio is the only medium that we can use to call people to join the church. You didn't know that. The TV, they can't do that on TV. They can talk about God, but they can't say, come and join our church. But through radio, we can. We can preach the gospel and say, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Only through radio. God has turned things around. And He's given this church the opportunity to broadcast this gospel through the radio. Saints, we've got to make it successful. We've got to support it. Pray for it and support it financially. And by the grace of God, before too long, we will have finished the job. When the government finally catches on what's happening through radio and then close things down, we would have finished it. The work would have been done. And we're ready to go home to be with our Lord. We're praying for your support. And we know that you will be supporting us. We'll be back with our pledge forms and our gift aid forms so that you can sign up and you can do the thing. We'll send it through and we'll come back and we'll do proper promotions with you. This is just by the way, okay? As I prepare for the message for today. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Loving Father, your word is ever true. And now, Father, we pause to invite you to speak through your word to each of our hearts. Lord, this vessel that you've chosen today is nothing. And so, Father, I pray that you will stand here in my stead and speak for yourself. Let all of us open our hearts to receive what you send, and may it all bring forth good fruit in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We know the story very well, don't we? The story of Joshua. The story found in Joshua chapter 6. The old Negro spirituals, they sang, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. And what happened? The walls came tumbling down. Saints of God, for every one of us, the walls can come tumbling down. As it was for Joshua and the children of Israel as they finally entered the promised land, so also for you and for me. The obstacles that stand in our way as we strive to achieve our spiritual goals, they can be torn down, saints of God. Do you have spiritual goals today? Have you been striving to achieve certain things in life, but somehow obstacles are in the way? And somehow we become discouraged and wonder, will we ever achieve those goals? Saints of God, our message today is to encourage us that the walls can come tumbling down. And they will come tumbling down when we learn the important lessons. Victory is ours. Victory belongs to us. But before we can claim victory, we must learn, saints of God, from the lessons that were taught to Israel. They had reached the borders of Canaan. On the east bank of Jordan, they camped as they awaited their marching orders from their new general and leader, Joshua. The two spies who went to spy out the land on this special reconnaissance mission, they had brought back a good report to the people of the land, and they said it, the people there melted, their hearts melted with fear. Why? Because of Israel. They came back and told the rest of the Israelites and Joshua, the people in the land of Canaan, they are shaking in their boots because of Israel. They knew that the land was theirs. The promise of God was about to be fulfilled. Finally, and at long last, the promise of God was about to be delivered. In chapter 2 of Joshua, he sent the two spies to go view the land. And Joshua said to these two spies, go view the land, especially Jericho. Especially Jericho. For some reason, saints of God, Joshua knew that Jericho was an issue. Can you see the issue in your life today? Can you see that one thing that is the big issue? For Joshua, he knew that Jericho was the issue. And so he sent the two spies, go into the land, spy it out, but especially look at Jericho. Jericho was a magnificent stronghold. It was large and wealthy. It was situated on a fertile tropical plain, and it enjoyed all the luxuries of the tropics. Jericho was a proud city, full of vice and demonstrated bold defiance against the God of heaven. It was a center of idolatry. The city was devoted to the worship of the goddess Ashtaroth, the goddess of the moon. In this city centered all that was vilest and the most degrading in the religions of the Canaanites. If they were to occupy Canaan, if Israel were to occupy Canaan, they had to first take Jericho. They had to make sure that Jericho was out of the way. But before they could even smell victory, they had some work to do. Before they could step foot in that promised land and claim it as theirs, there was work to be done. In Joshua chapter 3, Joshua states, he told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Saints of God, these walls, they're going to come down, you know. They're going to come down. But before these walls can come down, we've got to hear what Joshua said to the people of Israel. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders, amazing things among you. Saints of God, the question we must ask ourselves today is, are we ready for what the Lord wants to do among us? Like the children of Israel, we today must know that ultimate victory over self and besetting sins only come as we consecrate ourselves to God. Do you know that sin that's been in your life, that you've been struggling with for so many years? We must learn from this message that Joshua gives to the children of Israel that we can only overcome as we consecrate ourselves to God. Our Heavenly Father wants to do great things among us. He wants to open our Jordans and tear down the walls of our Jerichos. But he cannot, saints of God, because we are not ready for it. You know, if God should do certain things in our lives, it would blow our minds. If God should just behave in our lives as he really wants to, it would blow our minds. If God could just do through us as he really wants to do through us, sense of God, our minds would just evaporate. And so God is holding himself back. Why? Because we're not ready to do and to see what God really wants to do. We're not ready yet. Joshua says to the children of Israel, hey, the Lord is going to do wonderful things, but get ready for it. Get ready for it. Consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow he's going to do great things. What God wants to do for his people cannot be understood by us until it is done. The words of Joshua, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you, has deep significance. You see, saints of God, consecration opens the door for God to act. Are you with me here? You know, sometimes the Lord wants to do something, but the door is closed. He can't get in. But consecration opens the door and gets things ready for God to act. It says that we are willing and we are ready to cooperate with God and to fulfill his purpose. When we consecrate ourselves, we're saying, Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I'm ready. Do what you want to do through me. We're giving license, saints of God, for God to act through us. That's what consecration means. Consecration, saints of God, is the setting of ourselves aside for holy use. We set ourselves aside so the Lord can use us as he chooses for holy use. We separate ourselves as an act of worship to God. It is turning our backs on all that is worldly and concentrating our attention on all that is spiritual. Saints of God, the walls can come tumbling down when the people of God consecrate themselves to him. Consecration prepared Israel for the miracles of God. Consecration prepared Israel for the miracles of God. Do you know when the early church received the Holy Spirit and they went out in the communities? Miracles were performed through the church. Did you know that, sense of God? You think God has lost his power? You think he's not as powerful now as he was back then? He is just and more powerful, sense of God. The miracles that the early church did, saints of God, were nothing compared with what God wants to do through his church today. Jesus himself says, greater things than these you shall do. Don't limit God. Don't limit his miracles. He wants us to go into our communities and, saints of God, we will lay hands on people and they will be healed. In the early church, they brought their sick out and just the shadow of the disciples. Are you hearing me, saints of God? Just a shadow of the disciples passed over the sick people and they were healed. The miracles of God are there. But he wants the church to be ready for him to perform his miracles through his people. consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You see, saints of God, after 40 years in the wilderness, God was still leading his people. But God was now dealing with a generation of young people. Do you know that? Yeah, young people. The oldest person apart from Joshua and Caleb was on average about 40 years old. Anybody here 40? Some of us used to be. Just young people. I remember when I was 40, I was right here in this church. I was 40. I was young. I was strong. I could do things. I could run. And the Lord was dealing with a generation of young people who hadn't seen the miracles yet. Are you hearing me, saints of God? They did not experience the lamb's blood that was put over the doors and the lintels of their homes. They didn't experience the Red Sea when it opened and the children of God marched across on dry land. They did not experience that. They didn't know what miracle was. But now, the Lord was ready to do something through them. They didn't see the Red Sea open. This was a new generation. And this generation, saints of God, needed to be consecrated and be prepared for the miracle that God was about to do on their behalf. They needed to be ready to see what God would do. To be consecrated, Israel must put away their sins and free themselves from all outward impurity. Consecration meant that Israel were to turn their hearts to God and in their faith and trust in Him and His promises, give themselves over completely and willingly in obedience to their God. Whatever their God said they were to do, they were ready and willing to do it. And before God could do his thing through his people, they had to be consecrated so they could fully appreciate the miracle of grace. It's grace, saints of God. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders through us, through his people. They needed to know, the people of God needed to know, that it is God who will give them the land of Canaan. And only the miracles of God can assure them that the land is theirs. As they had crossed the Jordan, as they walked across the Jordan on dry land, just like their parents walked across the Red Sea on dry land. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse 24, Joshua chapter 4 and verse 24, there Joshua lets them know the reason for the miracle. Are you hearing me, saints of God? Joshua tells them the reason why the River Jordan was dried up. He tells them the reason why they were able to walk across on dry land. In chapter 4 and verse 24, he states that the Lord did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is what? Powerful, mighty. And so that you might always fear the Lord. The miracles of God, saints of God, come and testify to those around us that we serve a mighty God. Amen. When we go into people's homes and we pray for them, And saints of God, healing comes. Change comes to their lives. They know that we serve a mighty God. When we walk the streets and people see something different about us, they know that we serve a mighty God. And it tells us that we must always fear and trust and put our confidence in our God. Not only must we be consecrated saints of God, but in order for the walls to come down, in order for these walls to come tumbling down, the lessons of Israel teach us that we must give our plans to God and believe that he knows what he's doing. Are you hearing me, saints of God? In order for the walls to come down in our lives, we must learn to give our plans to God. On arriving on the other side of the Jordan now they've crossed the Jordan, Joshua knew that taking Jericho was to be the first step in the conquest of the land of Canaan. If they are to conquer Canaan, the first thing they had to do was knock down Jericho. They had to take Jericho. If Jericho wasn't conquered, they would not be able to conquer the land of Canaan. Jericho was too big for Israel. It was too well fortified for Israel. I'm sure Joshua remembered the report of the 10 spies. Remember that? Joshua was one of them, you know. Joshua was one of those spies who went in that Moses, the spies that Moses sent in way back. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who came back and said, yes, big people are there. Yes, the cities are well fortified. Yes, but the Lord has promised it to us and we can take it. Joshua must have remembered when he went in first time how big those people were. He must have remembered how fortified Jericho was. He remembers. So now he's crossed Jordan. And he's wondering to himself, how on earth are we going to do this? And Joshua, in his heart, he knows that only God knows how this is going to be done. Only God knows how we're going to knock down this city. The saints of God, the spirit of prophecy, Ellen White, makes it clear that Joshua retired from the crowd. He knew he had a challenge on his heart. He didn't just sharpen his sword and run into Jericho. He retired from the crowd. He left the rest of the soldiers. He went off by himself, saints of God. He went to pray to his God. He went to ask God for wisdom as he developed a tactic to overcome this mighty city, Jericho. How on earth will these walls come down? He didn't know, but he knew someone who did. Saints of God, as God's people today, we will see greater success if only we learn to turn things over to Jesus. If only we learn to go to him in prayer with the challenges that we experience in life, with the walls that we encounter from day to day, if only we learn to go to him first. Learn from Joshua. Present our challenges to God. That's why the wise man in Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Joshua said, before I go anywhere, I must go somewhere. And he went to his God. He knelt down in prayer. He was talking to his God about how this thing was going to happen. In answer to his prayer, saints of God, Joshua saw an armed warrior of lofty stature and commanding presence with a drawn sword in his hand. Imagine Joshua saying to God, now, Joshua is my favorite warrior. Did you know that? He's my favorite soldier in the scriptures. Joshua wasn't some mamby-pamby little soldier, you know. Joshua was ready to fight. Joshua was a strong man. Joshua was someone that Moses could put his confidence in. And when Joshua saw this soldier, mighty, strong, tall soldier with a drawn sword, I can imagine Joshua ready for a fight. Ready to draw his sword and give this soldier what for. And so Joshua asked the question, are you with us? Are you for us or for the enemy? Hey, the Lord responded, neither, but as commander of the armies of the Lord, I have come. Sense of God, having heard who it was, that stood before him, Joshua responded appropriately. Standing before him, saints of God, was none other than Michael the archangel. Michael the chief of the angels. Michael, who is none other than Jesus himself. The commander of the armies of the Lord. He comes and he stands before Joshua. In answer to Joshua's prayer, the Lord didn't send just any old angel to respond to Joshua. The Lord comes himself. And he stands before Joshua and he commands Joshua, hey, the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Take off your shoes. Joshua must have heard that Moses heard these same words way back then. Joshua must have been told by Moses how he first met the Lord, and the Lord told him to take off his shoes. And Joshua did the right thing. He bowed down on his face and he touched, his head was in the dirt. Sense of God, because he was standing in the presence of divinity. Joshua fell down on his face because he was in the presence of God. As commander of the armies of the Lord, one thing is for sure, saints of God, that Jesus did not come by himself. If he's commander of the armies of the Lord, he must have brought his army. Wouldn't you say so? Amen. He must have brought his army. And bringing his army with him was a message to Joshua that the battle that he was about to fight was no human battle. Are you hearing me, saints of God? This wasn't a battle for the people of Israel. This was a battle for the Lord himself. Hence the Lord brought his army with him. He's commander of the armies of heaven. Oh, Joshua asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me? What is your message for your servant? Lord, I'm willing just to do whatever you say. I know this city. I cannot conquer this. But with you by my side, with you giving me instructions, I know it will happen. Saints of God, when we remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Saints of God, when we remember this, we will know that we must depend on the armies of the Lord every time to overcome. If only Joshua could see the army. Wouldn't that be good? If only Joshua could see the army. Oh, saints of God, all he needed was Elisha to pray, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And Joshua would have seen the armies of the Lord surrounding the people of God. He would have seen the armies of the Lord just surrounding the camp of Israel. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 125 verses 1 and 2 tells us, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, So the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Saints of God, when it comes to conquering the walls in our lives, remember that the Lord is with us and he surrounds us just as the mountains surround Jerusalem. Saints of God, for the walls to come tumbling down, the people of God must realize that strict obedience is our only assurance of success. Are you hearing me, saints of God? Strict obedience is our only assurance of success. Joshua was ready and waiting to obey every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. His message, his question to the Lord was, what message does the Lord have for his servant? Lord, I'm ready to obey your every word. First of all, the mysterious stranger tells him to take off his shoes because where God was is holy. And the Lord confirmed to Joshua that the city of Jericho would soon be history. Notice what he says to Joshua. I have delivered Jericho into your hands, and its king and its fighting men. Sense of God, once the Lord says that, job done. Job done. When the Lord comes to us and says to us, saints of God, you shall overcome. Hey, job done. When the Lord comes to us and says, fear not. Saints of God, job done. The Lord says to Joshua, I have delivered Jericho into your hands with its king and its fighting men. I can imagine Joshua, a big beam on his face. Job done. And all the Lord had to do now was tell Joshua the strategy. And saints of God, whenever God calls us to encounter anything, we must know that he prepares the way for us to see success. He doesn't send us anywhere without, first of all, working it out ahead of time. And so he comes to Joshua and he tells Joshua the strategy now. I can imagine Joshua begin to think, how sharp must we sharpen our swords? How sharp must we get our spears ready? But no, this battle does not take sword and spear. It doesn't even take a shield, saints of God. This takes a different strategy. Oh, saints of God, I wish I had time to preach a sermon today. The Lord said to Joshua, no, just get your priests. Are you with me here, saints of God? Hey, get your priests, just seven of them, and let them get their trumpets. And all I want you to do is march around the walls one time every day. But on the Sabbath, I want you to march around what? Seven times. And when I give you the command, you blow the trumpet and tell the people to shout. Hey, saints of God. I can imagine the soldiers thinking, is he for real? But saints of God, they obeyed. Are you hearing me, saints of God? They obeyed the word of the Lord. As ridiculous as the word sounds. As nonsensical, is that the word? As it is. They obeyed the word of the Lord. And they marched around on the first day, one time, and went back home. The second day they came out and they marched around one time and they went back home. I can imagine the people in Jericho looking over the walls, wondering, oh, maybe today they're gonna break the gates down. No, but they went back home. Every day they marched around once and went back home. But now on the seventh day, something special happened. Joshua said to the people, I want you to march around And I don't want you to make a sound. You keep your zipped. When I give you the word, I want you to shout. Because the Lord has given you the victory. Saints of God, on the seventh day, they marched around one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times, and the seventh time. And I can imagine now the people are getting ready to shout. And they think, maybe if we shout loud enough, the walls will come tumbling down. Because that's what the Lord said. Shout, blow the trumpet, and the walls will come tumbling down. I can imagine saying, "Sir God, please forgive my imagination here." Don't forget now, the Lord came with his army, didn't he? Didn't he? He came with his army. You think they came for nothing? No, they came for something. They came for something because the battle was not Israel's. The battle was the Lord's. I can imagine the Lord saying to his soldiers, "Soldiers, no, you go around to the back end. You guys go around to that end. And you guys go to the far end, that far north wall." Are you with me here, saints of God? And when they shout, when they blow the trumpet on that seventh round, they will think that it is their blowing and their shouting that will cause the walls to come down. But when you hear them shout, all I want you to do, just lean on the wall. Are you with me here, saints of God? So the children of Israel, they march around that seventh time and they got ready. Joshua said, "Shout, because the Lord has given you the city." And they shouted, and the angel just said, and the walls came tumbling down. Are you hearing me, saints of God? And the children of Israel thought, "Wow, look what happened because of our shout." And the Lord said, "Shh, don't let them know, don't let me know." Sometimes, saints of God, the Lord does miracles in our lives and we claim the credit, don't we? We take the credit all for ourselves. "Look what I did because of how well I performed in my interview." No, 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 no. The Lord was working on your behalf. And we go away taking the credit. But it belongs to the Lord. Saints of God, we must shout because God has given us victory. Shout because we believe the Lord is on our side. Live a life of rejoicing because the Lord will deliver time and time and time again for his people. He wants to do wonderful things through us. He wants to do mighty things on our behalf. Let him, saints of God, consecrate ourselves to him. Give ourselves to him in service. Obey his word. Believe that he's there. Don't go our way. Lean on him. He will direct us. And when the time comes for the walls to come down, we will see them tumble down.